I'd like to ask you, have you ever taken on a case only to realize that the client has a lot more going on than meets the eye? Here's how I learned that sometimes it's not just about solving the case, but it's about choosing the right client to work with. Welcome to my first episode of a brand new podcast, Top Priority Chronicles, Wisdom of a Private Investigator. Thank you for joining me. This is a very exciting accomplishment for me. I have long awaited starting a podcast, and so here we go. We are doing this together, so I just want to thank you for joining me. Today's episode title is called The Case of Perception versus Reality, the lessons that I've learned in the importance of client screening. My name is Jamie Carr. I am a private investigator in the state of Oregon. So I had a client who called me, and one of the first questions I ask my clients is how they learned about my service. And this particular lady says she went to Google and she looked up private investigator, and my name came. So she called and she was interested in services because she had recently had a vehicle repaired and she was concerned about the outcome of the repairs. So before she gave me a long drawn out story, I just scheduled a free consult. And that's what I always do with my clients. I initially schedule a free consult because I try to hear as much information as they're going to offer me up front to help me glean the information to decide if this is something, first, I'm qualified to handle, and second, if this is a client that I'm fit to work with. So this was an older white lady. She was very nice, very sweet older lady. She lived by herself. And from what I could tell, she seemed to be depressed since the death of her husband several years ago. But this lady, and for the sake of publicity, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. We're going to call her Manic Mary. Now, when Manic Mary first presented to me, of course, she did not present manic. She was very kind. She was very calm, cool, collected. And Miss Mary laid out her case to me very plainly. And she had some concerns that the Hispanic body owner shop she had concerned had swapped out her vehicle. She thought that he had some funny business going on and that he had basically taken her vehicle, put different body pieces on it, and swapped it out, and he kept her original vehicle for himself. So the steps that I took to investigate this case was, initially, I am not a body or car professional by a long shot. So what I did was I enlisted the assistance of someone who is a body shop professional. And so what I did is I hired a body shop professional to come in, take a look at the vehicle, assess the vehicle, and to determine if the vehicle had been swapped out, and to explain to me so I could explain to her how they came to that conclusion. After enlisting the professional help of a body technician, a qualified body technician who had been doing it for a long time, I received a report which I passed on to Manic Mary to inform her that your vehicle is in fact the same vehicle you turned into the body shop. It has not been swapped out. And I think her concern primarily, and which was a valid concern, especially if you don't have knowledge of the auto body industry, her concerns were on her receipt. Her vehicle was a 2003 Jeep Liberty, and it was the first vehicle that she had bought brand new, and she bought it off the showroom floor, and she was proud of this vehicle. And she had kept up on this vehicle. She kept up on the service. She took very good care of the vehicle. And so when in her opinion, she took very good care of the vehicle. So she, what I found is in her receipt, there's a Jeep Compass and the Jeep Liberty share similar body styles. So a body shop can order a part for they label it, especially if they don't get it factory and they get aftermarket parts. It may be labeled a Jeep Compass, but it fits a Jeep Liberty. So that's what we were running up against, and that's where her primary concerns came from. So without going into all of the details that I went through, so I did hire the body shop. I ended up calling the DMV. There was a report. She made a complaint through the DMV, and so that body shop was investigated. Her vehicle was investigated to follow up on what her complaints were, and the outcome was they referred for a VIN inspection, which was completed, and the DMV did not follow up on it, and they did not file any complaint. I also called Dick Hanna dealership, which had provided previous auto body service to the vehicle, and I spoke to the technician who had been dealing with the client, who had also talked about the client expressing the same concern, brought the vehicle to them after she didn't get what she wanted from the Oregon State Police and making that VIN complaint. Next, I contacted the DMV, which they also reported there was a complaint made, and they've investigated and they did not do any follow-up. They also told me they don't keep records. So again, I just wanted you to know there was a thorough investigation completed behind the scenes. So once I put all the information I gathered together in a pretty little report, and I went over and I basically explained the report to Manic Mary. Manic Mary went into the reason why she's called Manic Mary. Her voice elevated. She was very panicky. She was anxiety stricken. She was just pacing around her house. She started screaming and yelling. She went from being very upset to start crying to being very apologetic, all in the same breath. But she did. I must say I gave her more time than she really need than I should have to vent, because I just thought this was my first experience as an investigator experiencing this, and so I didn't draw the connection. And when I did, I kind of went on autopilot and went from my past experience of being a mental health counselor, and I really did my best to de-escalate Miss Manic Mary, to affirm her that her concerns were valid. That they were real to her. And I just wanted to explain to her that the findings I found did not align with what she found, but I was not in any way discrediting what she felt. And so while I did not convince Manic Mary of my findings, what I learned, which was the valuable lesson for me, is that it wasn't really about the car. It ended up being about, Manic Mary's perception versus what was real. She had a hard time accepting the facts, and what she was really driven by was her perception, her feelings, and her thoughts. And one thing that I learned is what's more, what people believe in is more powerful than the truth is people's feelings and what they believe. So I did not try to change Miss Mary's feelings or her beliefs. I left her the information I provided. I let her know that I could not longer provide any services. My services were complete at that point, and I would do my best to find a referral. When I look back, I may have missed some red flags. I usually like to start a open conversation with clients to get to know them better, have them get to know me a little bit better, so we have a familiarity in our relationship. Miss Mary was telling me that she was suing her neighbor behind her, that she was upset about the fence, and so I really didn't read too much into it. But now when I look back, I think I should have looked at that as a red flag. I probably should have. One thing that I didn't do back then that I do now is I run background checks on my client. So when someone initiates service, although it is a cost to me, I first do a background check to just a lot of you can't tell if someone has a mental health background, but you can tell if they have a criminal background. And sometimes, depending on what the charges are that they've been accused of or been convicted of, it can tell you a lot about a person's character that they may not be able to tell you right off the bat, and that you want to avoid learning the hard way. So, since that experience, what I've added to my screening process is I do like to, as I did before, I meet with clients in person to get a read on their nonverbal. What are they saying in their body language that they aren't saying verbally? Because body language is more honest than our verbal language. And it is, sometimes it's unconscious. So it is a person speaking without knowing that they are speaking. And what I've incorporated into my screening process since this experience is learning how to ask certain questions that ask about their relationships with their neighbors, asks about relationships with family members. And I do my best to try to help clients tell me about how they get along with others, how they work with others, and how often they're doing that. This lady had been, I don't think she had worked because her husband had worked, or she had been retired for a long time. Now that I think about it, she had been retired a while. She was kind of she liked to garden, and she was kind of a recluse, but it seemed like she didn't have any friends and she was very isolated. And so, not that I probably would have immediately banned her, but I would have asked a lot more questions in the beginning. And so I just want to encourage you all to start thinking about, you know, create hypothetical situations for yourself. Start thinking what a coulda, shoulda, woulda, and allow yourself to start planning. You can't plan for everything until you some things you're just going to have to experience. But at the very least, you will give yourself a game plan, a blueprint, if you will, of what you'll say, what you'll do, what you'll, how you'll respond in when you have a client that's acting in a way that you didn't plan for, that's unexpected, and that is maybe inappropriate, or that is where you can tell there's some mental health challenges there. So before I leave you, before we part for the day, I would like to just point out a few things that you should do to set clear expectations at the beginning of a meeting with a client to avoid issues down the line. First off, you're going to want to do a great job screening your clients. That means you're going to be wanting asking questions. You're going to be wanting to ask about relationships with other people. You're going to want to ask if they've been sued, if they sue anybody, if they got a criminal background. You're also want to do your own research on your client. Sometimes it doesn't hurt to take a 10-15 minute background check just to see, and even a Google check to see if that person is in any newspaper articles or anything that you just don't want to be caught off guard by a client. So it's best to know what you're dealing with up front. So something else to do to avoid conflict is ask the client up front if the type of work that you're offering to do for them, ask them if they've done it before. Ask them if they have an idea about how much it costs, if they have an idea of what the work costs, and you're going to want to be really clear. One thing that I did really well was really upfront with the client. I tell all my clients, not only does it say it in my contract, but I also, and make sure you have contracts. After you've done your consult and you're going to take this client on, never operate on a handshake or just because they're giving you money up front. You need to have your services spelled out in black and white. And I think that's what helped me here, where I was very clear that I cannot guarantee results. And I let all clients know that I can't guarantee that I'll get the information you want me to find, but I'll do my best to dig up and what I'll definitely share whatever I find. You also want to make sure that you are declining any case of a client maybe that has a personality that you don't think will work well with you or the way that you work. And so knowing, setting knowing yourself is going to be key, but also being able to be a good gauge of character in your clientele is also going to be key. And you'll need to learn how to teach yourself to politely decline a client if they have red flags. So I'm going to say all money is not good money. So in conclusion, not every case is about uncovering hidden truth. Sometimes the real discovery is learning who you should and shouldn't work with. So I want to encourage all of you, especially my small business owners, please, please, please create a system for yourself where you review your clientele and that you are being mindful about your intake process, especially if you're working with clients over time. If you got a client that you just drop in and they provide a service, you just provide a service and it's a give and take, that's one thing. But if you guys are building a relationship and working over time, you want to make sure that your personalities go well together and that the client that you're working with can hear when you're being able to report information to them, even if it's not what they want to hear. I also encourage you to know your boundaries up front. So when you do have to set a fine line, a firm line, and set a hard line with a client, you're able to do that without feeling apologetic about it. I encourage you to share your own challenging stories. Please feel free to leave a story below if you feel like you have anything that could be beneficial to me or any other clientele. Please share your information below. This podcast is all about wisdom, share from experiences, and sharing those experiences so others don't have to learn from our painful experiences. So in that, I'd like to thank you for tuning in for my first podcast. I am eager to get your feedback. I am eager if you have topics that you'd like me to explore, please list them below or DM me. Again, if you are in need of investigation services, it doesn't have to be an organ, depending on what the investigation services, and for us to figure that out, it's always easier just to DM me, or you can visit my website at toppriorityinvestigations.com. Send me a service request, and I would love to work with you or offer you some advice. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you. Subscribe by joining my YouTube channel, and please give feedback on the lesson learned. Is it something that you think is helpful? And please follow me on my Instagram at Top Priority Investigations or on my Facebook page, which I'm Jamie Carr on Facebook. So thank you again. It's been a pleasure seeing you, and I look forward to many, many evenings together.